From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's previously recorded edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present the 100th episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's special guest is K.P. Yohannan, author of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation. Now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to a very special edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. This is, well, it's the 100th episode of Hank Unplugged. And today we're going to feature a very close and personal friend. And he really fits the billing for our mission statement, because he is truly one of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. He has a tremendous vision, and I want you to catch that vision today. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to my dear brother, my friend, my co-laborer in Christ, Brother K.P. Yohannan. He is a Metropolitan. He is the founder of Gospel for Asia. There's a whole lot more that I'm going to say in a moment, but welcome, KP.
Thank you, Hank. What a privilege. It's amazing just to hear the narrative of your journey, and I'm so grateful that Christ's name is known far and wide, and the influence is very significant. And for me, I tell people everywhere in the world, one of the greatest privileges in my personal life is the day I got to see you and know you and follow you, and I appreciate you so very much.
Well, I love you too. You know, you're one of those people, and I've told many people about this. Of course, my son David experienced it because he was in the room when it happened. When we first met, the minute I saw you, I can say I truly loved you. And that has only grown over the years.
Yeah, the same thing. You know, Christianity is, sad to say, has what A.W. Tozer, you know, said it about many things about church, the missing jewel in the modern Christianity for a long time. It is the understanding of mystery. And I never forget the first time I saw you. I mean, for years, if somebody said, did you ever meet Hank Hanegraaff? You talked to him? My answer would be, what on earth are you talking about? I never even imagined that could happen. So when I saw you, it was like a hidden mystery that all of a sudden the light turned on, that God in his amazing eternal plan now open the door, and here I see you face to face. It's not an illusion, it's a real thing. And my heart was pounding so hard, thinking that, my goodness, I didn't know this was going to happen, but here I am meeting you. And I think when we are in eternity, that is the future, we look back and see how different times in our life, whether deep pain and sickness or encounter, meeting people, I think we will see all things as they are. And this was one of those moment that I think my meeting you and the joy of knowing you, and it continued to increase in its value, appreciation, and understanding the ways of the Lord. So I just want to affirm that and thank you again for your love and friendship and our journey together for this brief few years left in the light of eternity.
Yes, both of us are on our fourth quarter. I mean, even if we live to be 100, we're still in our fourth quarter. So
yeah,
we're looking to make our lives count while there is yet time. And you have done so much in ministry, and obviously you're a humble man, and I don't want to exalt you unduly, but I do want people to know how God has used you, first of all, as the founder of Gospel for Asia. This is an organization that has helped to bring the love of Christ to literally, without any hyperbole, millions of people in a needy world. You're also, and I think this is very significant, something we'll talk about in the podcast, but you're the Metropolitan of Believers Eastern Church. And this church has more than 12,000 congregations. Think about that for a moment. 12,000 congregations in 16 nations. Nations around the world that I think encompass some 300 languages. And George Verwer, who is, of course, the famed founder of Operation Mobilization International, dubbed UKP the Indian Apostle Paul of this generation. And I think he's absolutely right. You're the author of the bestseller, Revolution in World Missions. It's a book that more than any other has changed the way world missions is impacting the precious planet for which Jesus Christ sacrificed his life. There are some, this is a staggering number, some 4 million copies in print. Probably many, many more in languages all throughout the world. And that book, again, has been dynamic in changing the very way in which world missions is being conducted. And this has made a big impact in and of itself. So let me stop there. There's much more that I could say. But first of all, talk about Gospel for Asia, an incredible ministry that has had such an impact around the world.
Hank, thank you. Thank you for being very kind and gracious in the way you said things about me and the ministry and the work and the church. You know, when I first came to America in 1974 to go to the seminary in Dallas, people used to ask me, tell us about the place you come from and what is it like? And I used to tell them, well, why don't you go and look at the oldest black and white Tarzan movie you can find? You might have a glimpse, understanding of the community or the tiny rural village I was born and raised. And strange enough, those who study theology and seminaries, they will learn the word Niranam, N-I-R-A-N-A-M, because that is one of the places where St. Thomas, Apostle Thomas, Christ's disciple, came in A.D. 52, preaching the gospel, obeying the great commission of the Lord to go into all the world. And he planted 7 churches. And one of those churches, Hank, happened to be about 3 kilometers from where I was born and raised. And, you know, being raised in a Christian home, believing in the Orthodox faith and the holy traditions and following the Lord, my mother, without any doubt, was truly a living saint. And now we make saints after they're dead. But my mother, about 5 feet, 1 inch tall, something like that, a tiny woman, you know, she had 6 sons and I'm the youngest. And she was so devout that she would spend 4 or 5 hours daily in prayer alone. And she looked into her eyes as a small boy. I thought, what is wrong with my mother? Because she had a different, strange world stamped into her eyes. And when I finished my high school, I told my parents, if they would allow me, I'd like to go with a youth group to North India, which is 2,000 miles away from my village, to learn about Christ discipleship and then share the gospel with people that never heard it. And before I could finish my sentence, my mother, who was sitting on the bench by our dining table, jumped up and said, "Go, you must go." And my first impression, Hank, was, my God, I was an accident, or she never liked me. but there was no other conversation. Sure enough, with their blessing, I went off to North India. And 2 years of my life in Rajasthan, known as the desert of the kings or the gospel, I came home, skin and bones, and trying to visit my parents and my mother was in the kitchen cooking, you know, like the old way, the firewood and, you know, the stuff. And she said, I want to tell you a story. Why don't you sit down? So I sat down and she said, you remember the day you came and told me about you want to go and serve Christ? I said, Mother, I remember that. I know also what you said. She said, well, there's something you don't know. And then she said, all my life I prayed that one of my sons will commit his life to serve the Holy Church and serve the Lord. And one by one, your brothers went to farming, business, and all kind of things, because I come from a farming family. And you were born and raised timid, shy, withdrawn. I kind of gave up my hope that you would make anything out of your life. And that's when I started praying every Friday, fasting, only drinking water for 3.5 years, saying, Lord, before I die, please call one of my sons to serve you and Holy Church.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with K.P. Yohannan. God, where are you? Have you ever found yourself asking that question? Such was the case for K.P. Yohannan as he walked through what he calls a forest fire of grief and pain. In his new book, Never Give Up, he tells his sincerely vulnerable story, detailing years of struggle and discovery that we know will give you strength to endure your own difficulties. K.P. Yohannan challenges his readers to pursue God in Christ and make the most of every moment of time we have here on earth. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him, right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and K.P. Yohanan in their conversation.
I came home trying to visit my parents, and my mother was in the kitchen cooking. And she said, "You remember the day you came and told me about you want to go and serve Christ? All my life I prayed that one of my sons will commit his life to serve the Holy Church and serve the Lord. And one by one, your brothers went to farming business and all kind of things. And that's when I started praying every Friday, fasting, only drinking water for 3.5 years, saying, Lord, before I die, please call one of my sons to serve you and the Holy Church. And the day you came and said what you said, I knew instantly God answered my prayer. But I never told you that. And I'm convinced that my serving God had to do with my mother's prayer. But then I learned later from my church that when I was taken to be baptized and chrismated, my mother told our priest of my 6 sons, this one we have decided to give to serve the Lord and the Holy Church. Please, Father, pray for him that it will be fulfilled. So it is amazing those records are kept. But then, Hank, one of the amazing thing in 1990, I was on the way to South Korea to speak at a mission conference from the United States. And that's when I heard my mother was taken ill and taken to the hospital. She was hardly ever sick in her life. And I canceled my trip and went to visit my mother. And she was 84 at that time. The day before she died, she told the medical doctors that tomorrow I'm going to be with my Lord. And she would be witnessing all the time about knowing Christ and all that. Anyway, next morning, 6:15, she departed to be with the Lord. And after her funeral, we will open her diary, look at the instructions she left with her sons. And one of the things she wrote down was this: when I'm dead and gone, the only thing I will leave behind, it is my wedding ring, my earrings, and the gold chain my husband gave me when I was 19, when he married me. Please sell these items and give the money to preach the gospel where people never heard Jesus' name. I want to meet them also in heaven. The amazing thing, we sons, we all thought she had a huge amount of money saved up in the bank. To find out, there was nothing. She was giving away all her resources continually every month to preach the gospel in many, many places without ever telling anyone. And when I came to serve the Lord with Operation Mobilization and spent 8 years of my life in India, Bangladesh, and Indonesia, and all these places, but finally in 1974, when I came to America to study in seminary, after a few years of my training here, of course, you know, I mean, 500 years of training is a long time, I felt so empty, so lost, saying to myself, what am I doing in America? This is a country where every telephone post is a church. 2 billion people live in South Asia that never heard the name Christ. And that's when I resigned from my church being a local clergy and decided to start the mission, Gospel for Asia. And now we are 40 years in the history, and our job was to train people in their own countries, cultures, and send them out to preach the gospel among people that never heard the gospel. And that was a beginning. I mean, just like Jesus did in Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, and then what happened in Acts chapter 2 and Acts 13. And so I am totally amazed as I look back. I've been like, Hank, honestly, like a dry leaf carried in the wind. Didn't know what the future, what to do, where to go, but good and bad and pain and agony and persecution, whatever, the Lord carried us. And here we are, amazed by what God is doing and the Holy Church and what the Lord is planning in the days to come.
I want to jump ahead just a little bit based on what you said with respect to Gospel for Asia, your vision, your passion. You have said that there's a deception that has taken place within mission organizations, and that deception is that they fail to see that they are, in fact, a means to the end of establishing local churches. And so you have seen your mission not as a mission just to reach out, as significant as it is, but to build the church, because you are committed to 1 Timothy 3:15, what Paul said, that the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. And now you've established over 12,000 churches, and that's being conservative. You're understating the numbers on purpose, because if you overstate, people can say you overstated by one. It may be many more than that, but 12,000 churches plus, and these are in 16 different nations and encompass so many varied languages. Talk a little bit about your total, irrevocable commitment to the church as the center of the universe. That out of which everything else springs.
Well, Hank, this journey of my understanding of the Holy Church and the mystery that was hidden in God, the Holy Trinity revealed to St. Paul, I want to be very blatantly honest that I did not understand it for a long time. It was about 17 years ago I actually began to understand the amazement and the mystery of the Holy Church. My education and background in the United States, everything was heavily Protestant, and church history went back to Martin Luther, nothing more than that. And information I would say this with whatever humility I can muster up, that is, if we can find a lawyer to defend God and theology, I would be one of the rare ones, I think. It was all in my head. And finally, when I realized this God I talk about is somebody I obey every word, and like Pharisees, but it's like looking at a beautiful rose flower. It's incredibly intoxicating, the scent of it, but as C.S. Lewis said, we cannot enter into the reality of the incredible scent, the smell. So it was for me when I read 2 Peter 1:4, that we are called to be partakers of his divine nature. And that threw me off completely, and I said, where is this God? I talk about him. I pray even better prayers than Peter Marshall, and I can explain everything, but I can't touch him. Where is he? And that was the beginning, Hank. I began to, with the recommendation of someone, to read Sadhu Sundara Singh and Watchman Nee and the early church fathers, I call them Orthodox fathers, and the apostles, and what they said. And they didn't write books to get money. They just spoke the amazing realities they experienced through the mystical encounter with the living God. And this is when I realized, I had written over 100 books by now, and Revolution World Missions became the most impacting book in the world. Everything was going so well. But then I went back and began to read the Great Commission and what Jesus said, go. Therefore, I had done the job. Go and preach the gospel, and those who believe, baptize them, and then teach them everything I have told you. By the way, I'll come back finally. And that's what he said. And that actually shocked me to no end. That is, evangelism without a specific laser beam focus to establish the authentic church, where the Eucharist is the epicenter of worship and the living Christ presence, we are missing something. And so I realized what a massive deception Lucifer and billions of demons have inflicted upon the modern church. And I don't want to be a critique or attacking anyone, but Jesus spilled his blood on the cross hang for the church. The reason for the entire creation, the billions of galaxies and the earth and everything, the purpose of God was to find a bride for his son. And that is the Holy Church. And if that is the purpose, when St. Paul said, I suffer all these things for the sake of the elect. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, they should read 2 Corinthians. This was like a man bleeding for 30 years and his trail, you can see the blood drops, and he did all that for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those who become the members of the Holy Church. That's what he lived for, and that's what Jesus died for.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with K.P. Yohanan in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you K.P. Yohanan's book, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.